Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I'm at Deliverance Temple,
where they love
by living their vision every day.
They connect with their Creator continually.
They confess their deliverance consistently.
They commit to serve creatively.
And they communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Pastor Andre,
feed me this word.
All right, put your hands together this morning.
All right. So we've been in a series that has been called Enough. That is the series that we've been in. It's just simply Enough. Somebody shout Enough.
Enough.
And the first one, Enough Part 1, dealt with Am I Enough? That was the thing we dealt with, and we flipped it around and taught you that I am enough because of the I am that is in us. The second one, Enough Part 3, dealt with I don't have enough. So even though I am enough because the I am is in me, there are times and seasons in my life where I don't have enough. And what we talked about is that is just a stop on your journey. It is not a final destination. So if you're in a place where you don't have enough, you can always look for God to make changes. And so we showed you some scriptures in there, and you can pick all these up on the app. They're there. And then there was Enough Part 3, which is today. In between, we had Apostle Sunday, and he talked about dress for success, which was good last week as well. So that leads us to today, to Enough Part 3. And the subtopic for Enough Part 3, where we will part from, is more than enough. More than enough. So the last time that I preached, it was I don't have enough. And now we're going all the way to the opposite extreme of more than enough. So from I don't have enough to more than enough. Now, many of us have spent time in I don't have enough, and we may have dabbled in more than enough, but we want to do more than just dabble in more than enough. We would like to spend more time in more than enough. I would say lately I've been spending time in a place called just enough, and just enough is better than I don't have enough. But it's still not as good as more than enough. And so as I progress in life, I would like to land one day in more than enough. I'd like to not always have to pinch pennies. Nothing wrong with pinching pennies and being frugal. I can be as frugal can be. But every now and then, I don't want to be a spendthrift. I want to spend without the thought of how much is this going to cost. I have never lived in that life. Every time I get ready to do something, I need to know how much it's going to cost down to the T, because I've been in just enough. But thank God for just enough, because just enough is better than I don't have enough. I've been in I don't have enough, and I thank God for just enough, but God, give me some days of more than enough. And so that's what we're talking about. And so we're going to give the definition of enough, which we have used in each one of these sermons on enough. And the definition is occurring in such quantity, quality, or scope as to fully meet demands, needs, or expectations. What if you move into a season of your life where there's a more than enough, where you fully meet the demands, the needs, the expectations? And even though I'm talking about, I'm not just speaking of monetary and material things. Sometimes you need more love and more joy. You just need more than enough, because life has a way of draining you of your, sometimes your joy, your peace. And you just want some seasons of your life where you can relax a little. I don't mind fighting the devil, but I want to fight him all the time, every single day. I want it to happen like it did in the wilderness with Jesus, where the Bible says he left Jesus alone for a season. I want a season where I can say that the devil had to leave me alone, leave me alone.
I don't mind praying and prophesying and understanding scriptures and giving, but I need some moments in my life where I can just wake up, and from the day, moment I wake up to the moment I lay my head to my pillow, everything goes right. It would be nice. Now, I know we can't stay there forever, but it'd be nice to have some days like that. I know some of y'all are tired of rebuking the devil all the time, tired of the devil in your family and devil in your finances and devil on TV and the devil in the neighborhood. I got two calls this week about people being shot, and I'm tired of all of this. God, give us some seasons of more than enough. Now, it is the other seasons that trains us and develops our character, but the problem is we can get stuck in a season of always expecting the worst thing to happen and never expecting things to get any better, because it's always been this way, it'll always be this way. No, the devil is a lie. Just because it's always been that way doesn't mean there's not another season you can step into. And so I always want to push for that. And so the quintessential person for us to look at in this this idea is something we see in scripture, and it is King Solomon. King Solomon, he moved into a whole atmosphere of more than enough. One of the few places in scripture where you will see that the son, when he took over, he outpaced the father. Most times in scripture, when there is a change of hands, the son did worse than the father. But King Solomon is one of those seasons or one of those situations where the son did better all the way up to the end, till he got into all them women. Them women got to messing with his head. 700 wives, 300 concubines. At three of them, I'd have went crazy. So I know he went crazy with 700 and 300. And so he did well for a good period of time, but we see toward the end he lost his way. And so I just want to bring Solomon up. I did some study on him, and in today's economy, and this was done in 2017, they said that he would have been worth, or his net worth would have been $2.2 trillion in today's economy. So he had money. He had more than enough. But of course, if you study, you always have detractors. And there were some that said that Solomon, his wealth was a myth and that it grew over time. People made it more than what it was. And so I decided, I always like to look at both sides. Even though I don't agree with it, I like to look at both sides and compare. But even the person who didn't agree, he said that if everything is true about Solomon, that he is worth $2 trillion. If everything was untrue, and not everything, if there were some mistakes, which he thought there was, then he probably was $100 billion. I said, well, shoot, either way, he had money. So no matter how you look at it, so when I was studying, I thought he was going to say he was broke. He said, either way, even if you take the lowest estimates, he was a high billionaire. You take the highest estimates, he was a trillionaire. So he lived in more than enough. Now, I'm going to turn a corner, because what I should be doing in going to more than enough, I should be laying out all the places where we see Solomon's wealth. But that's not what I want to do. I want to tackle it from a different angle, because toward the end of Solomon's life, he writes a book called Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, you see him saying his true intents and thoughts. After he has had more than enough, he begins to let you in on some things. And it's very interesting what he says. We're not talking about a person who has not enough, but we're talking about someone who's had more than enough for a long period of time. And it's amazing what he says. And so we're going to start with the Ecclesiastes 1:14. Mother, would you read that for me?
Seen all the things that are done under the sun, and have found everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind.
He said, I have seen all the things. As wealthy as he was, and wealth gives you access as well as it gives you power,
So having more than enough, he had more than enough women, he had more than enough chariots, he had more than enough of a lot of things, but he still said, I found it all to be futile and a pursuit of the wind. Yeah. This is something that you have to understand, and when you're trying to move into another level, you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, what you're trying to chase after, you will grab it and it will be nothing. And so this is a context that he puts all throughout Ecclesiastes. We're going to put it up here. It's called chasing the wind. So you have to be careful when you're trying to go from stage to stage that you're doing it God's way, because if you're not doing it God's way, all you're doing is chasing the wind. You're grasping at things that you can never really attain. So even though you are trying to look to expect more, you have to understand the importance of contentment and being content, because you can get to chasing when you don't need to be chasing. You can get to running when you don't need to be running. You can be vacationing when you need to be staying home. You could be buying when you need to be saving. But what you're trying to do, you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with Instagram, and then you start chasing so-and-so renewed their vows. I want to renew my vows. So-and-so has a Lincoln. I want a Lincoln. But you're not so-and-so. You got to know what God wants for you, and you have to understand the timing of God. And the wealthiest and wisest man that ever lived says, at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff is just emptiness. It's just a chasing of the wind. So I never want to preach to you to make you feel like materials is what you should be shooting for. You should be shooting for God, because if you get materials and you don't have God, it's like you grabbing the wind and you can't grab the wind. Have you ever seen in Hollywood and celebrities that seem like they have it all, but they say that they killed themselves or they were depressed, because materials cannot satisfy the soul. So you have to have priorities in their proper place. And God, if it's I don't have enough and I have you, it's better than more than enough without you. Because I still have to have my mind. If I have money but don't have my mind, if I have a marriage but don't have my mind, I'd rather have you, God, and a sound mind than to just be chasing after the wind. Amen. Now, we don't want to raise lazy Christians. We want you to be ambitious. We want you to be passionate. But you have to be calculated in your passion and calculated in your ambition. And the first thing you need to know, God, what do you want from my life? Yeah. Well, Pastor, I got a new job. It's going to take me to Arizona. Well, wait a second, sweetheart. Before you run to Arizona, have you found a church in Arizona? Because you were crazy before you got to Deliverance Temple, and I haven't got a chance to clean you all the way up. And if you don't find a church in Arizona, you're going to have more money, but you're still going to be crazy. You got to know, God, am I doing what you want me to do? Or else I'm just going to be grabbing at the wind. Read. Let's unpack this a little. Ecclesiastes 5:10.
The one who loves money is never satisfied with money.
I want to stop you right there. Later in Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to warn people that the love of money is the root of all evil. So first thing you have to check with yourself, do I love God or do I love money? I can't come to church because I got to work overtime. We understand your job wants you to work overtime, and it's mandatory overtime. I understand that, but none of your overtime money ever makes its way back to the church. Do you love God or do you love money? And it says never satisfied. Read.
And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile.
I've always got to get more. If you've ever met people who do have money, they always are chasing the next thing. Because one thing about having money, you always will bump into somebody who has more than you. And so you're satisfied with your house until you stepped in your friend's house. And now you got to have a house like your friend's house. But now that you've outpaced your friend, then you're going to bump into another person who's going to be doing better than you. And many people are just chasing the next thing. I've watched people who have money and they don't really have a good relationship with God, and they're always buying stuff. that they don't use, buying a new car and got 1,200 watches. But you can't wear all those watches at one time. It's something about the pursuit of this world that once you get wrapped up in it, you will never be satisfied. And this is not coming from a broke man. This is coming from the wealthiest man that ever lived and said, at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff is emptiness. In the King James, it said this way, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Read the next verse.
When good things increase, the one who consumed them multiply. What then is the profit to the owner except to gaze at them with his eyes?
What happens many times is, and even if you don't have a whole lot of more than enough experiences, you still have seen in your life, you've got stuff that you look at in your house that you had to have, but you don't really do nothing with it. Just go to your closet when you leave here and look at something that's been hanging there for a long time that you just had to have, and shoes that you just had to have, and calculate in your mind, how many times have I really worn that? But I just had to have that. This is something that I find myself doing. It's funny. One of the things that I really wanted to make sure that I had arrived in life, I wanted a big screen TV. And sometimes my big screen TV is on, and here I am looking at my phone. I'm looking at this tiny screen while I got a big screen right in front of me. But over time, material things, they lose their shine. Let me tell you what else loses their shine. Relationships lose their shine after some years. Woo, he's just the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to check with you in 2 years and see what you're talking about then. Because things of this world, if they're not gained by God, they have a way of losing their luster and losing their shine. And there's some stuff that you have in your life, you just look at it with your eyes and think, I never needed that to begin with. You ever opened your refrigerator and it's full, but you can't find nothing to eat? It's a bunch of stuff in there, but nothing feels appealing to you. And the reason why nothing feels appealing to you, because you just watched a television show and they showed you some brand new Kentucky Fried Chicken and it messes with your subliminal. So when you go to the refrigerator, I ain't nothing to eat. Let me go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's something about our psyche where we are never satisfied. Kids on Christmas Day are happy unwrapping gifts. 2 hours later, they're playing with old stuff while the new stuff is sitting under the tree. It's just something about the human nature. So even though you want more than enough, you have to pull in your soul because you'll grab stuff that won't do you any good. All right, verse 12.
The sleep of the worker is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich permits him no sleep.
Now, this is something that the rich man is telling us. He said, something about being a worker is you work and you get tired and you're able to sleep. But those who have abundance, they are always worried about what's happening, the next business deal, the next opportunity. And so they cannot rest. Is it good to have stuff and not be able to rest? Is that good to have your mind so clogged with stuff that you can't rest? You got a queen and a king size bed, but you can't even sleep in it. Next verse.
There is a sickening tragedy I have seen under the sun. Wealth kept by its owner to his harm.
He said that this is a tragedy I've seen. I've seen people grab a whole lot and it looked like they were doing good, but it seemed like the more that they got, the more they harmed themselves. I believe it was maybe Puff Daddy and Biggie that said, the more money I come across, the more problems I see. Something about the thing. So there's nothing wrong with having things, but the problem is many times things have a way of having you, and sometimes it can be to your own detriment to move into more than enough when you're not ready. So that's why God develops you in I don't have enough. And develops you in just enough so that when you move into more than enough, you don't forget the God that kept you in just enough and the God that preserved you in I don't have enough. The worst thing you can do is come to a new level of blessing and forget the God who brought you there. So what God says, we're going to take a long time before we bless you, because I know how you are. I'm going to take you through some things, because Solomon is trying to warn you. If it comes quick, it's something about it that could bring detriment to you. All right, verse 15.
As he came from his mother's womb.
This is something the wealthiest and wisest men begin to think. Wait one second. No matter what I gain in this world, it's reminding me of this. As he came from his mother's womb, read.
So he will go again, naked as he came. He will take nothing for his efforts that he can carry in his hands.
Interesting. He said, one thing I've noticed is that when the baby comes out, baby got nothing. And when the body dies at the end, the body has nothing. It's good to accumulate things, but you have to remind yourself, I can't take any of it with me. And so will I sacrifice relationship with my kids to get more stuff, and I can't take the stuff with me. Now, this is a rabbit trail. I'm going to take a quick rabbit trail. I'm going to try to get back, but let me take this quick rabbit trail. Please, for the life of me, please stop putting gold chains and gold rings in the casket. And please stop putting $20 bills in the casket. Because all you're going to do is the people that's going to bury them, they're going to lift that stuff up out the casket. Because there's nothing they can do in the casket to take that stuff with them. It is temporal. It is not eternal. That's why we build our hopes on things that are eternal, not on things that are temporal. Yes, I can make more money, but if I have to miss church, I have to ask myself what's more important. Because the money, what is it going to do for my eternal salvation? How many times have you been in a funeral procession and you've seen a U-Haul behind the hearse? How many times have you seen the bank man and the stock market man following the casket? It doesn't work like that. Naked you come and naked you shall return. When you sit in that casket, your body decomposes all the way down to the skeletons. You cannot take any of this stuff with you. It's good to have it while you're here, but make sure your priorities are in place. It's got to be God first, God second, God third, God fourth, God fifth. He's got to be Alpha and Omega. He's got to be beginning and the end. If you can learn that lesson, then God can trust you with more than enough, but he can't trust you until you learn the lesson that is not that important. It's important to get along and live. I'm not saying that you need to take a vow of poverty, because if you want to take a vow of poverty in this day and age, you're going to be depressed because you need money to do just about anything. The other day, my tire was leaking, and back in the day, you could pull up to the air and put air in your tire for free, but now it's $1.50 just to put air in your tire. Everything costs. So I'm not saying you need to stay in, I don't have enough, but while you're moving to more than enough, you got to make sure your priorities are intact. All right, let's look at verse 16.
This, too, is a sickening tragedy. Exactly as he comes, so he will go. What does the one gain who struggles for the wind?
What do you gain at the end when all this struggle you're doing is just for the wind? What is your gain? What the Bible says, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And what Solomon says, if you're doing all this gaining and God's not in it, you're struggling for the wind. Next verse, we're going to move into Ecclesiastes 6:2.
God gives a man riches, wealth, and honor so that he lacks nothing of all he desires for himself. But God does not allow him to enjoy them. Instead, a stranger will enjoy them. This is futile and a sickening tragedy.
Solomon said, this is a sickening tragedy. He said, I'm watching what is happening. Is God is the one that allows wealth to come to anybody. The Bible says he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So there would be no Bill Gates without God. So God allows it all. But what Solomon says, those who don't walk with God and are not close with God, they end up leaving it to somebody that didn't work as hard for it as they did. I'll give you an example. A man has spent all his time gaining money for his family. And what he ends up doing is running himself ragged, and he has a heart attack, and he dies early, and all the money is left to the kids who have no concept of work, and the kids run through the money. So basically, the man died for nothing because he didn't realize whatever I have, it came from God. It is God that allows one or gives you the power to get wealth. So before I chase it, the first thing I got to do is say, God, I thank you for everything you've done in my life. God, can I take some of this and give to the poor? Can I take some of this and give to your house? Can I take some of this and give to your gospel? But a lot of people, when they get it, they forgot who gave it to them. And so it makes God have to be in a situation where I've got to snatch you out. There was a man, the Bible says that he had some barns, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear these barns down. The Bible says he was a rich man, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And the Bible says, you fool, because your soul is required of you tonight. I don't care how much you build and how much you have. I don't care how much the shoes look. I don't care how red bottom they are. I don't care what your car looks like, your house looks like. When your time is up, your time is up. So you have to invest in your soul and invest in your spirit. And one thing I will not do is chase the wind and not have a hold of God. Because it is God that does it. Now, when we have a hold of God, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we who have a hold of God seem to be doing worse than those people who don't have a hold of God? Because sometimes the people who don't have a hold of God, they put in more effort than the ones that do have a hold of God. Because we think having a hold of God means God's going to do everything. You still need to get up and go to work. You still need to get up and do what you need to do. You still need to save. You still need to do the right things. So God's not going to do it all. But if you partner with him in the right time, he'll bless your socks off and do for you what you can't do for yourself. As long as you promise that he will be first. Let's look at verse 7.
An old man's labor is for his stomach, yet the appetite is never satisfied.
So he gives us a parallel between the appetite of a man and his stomach. He said that's what life is like. Have you ever specifically gone and, if you like Chinese food, ever ate Chinese food and ate real good, like a Chinese buffet? But 2 hours later, you was hungry and didn't even know it had you eaten. Somehow, what you ate didn't satisfy you. And now you're hungry again. And now you're eating late at night. And now your stomach is getting bigger. But you don't feel like you've really enjoyed or been satisfied. So it looks like you've got more. But on the inside, you don't feel satisfied. You ever heard about a younger teen or something? And they say he has a tapeworm where he just eats, but nothing is sticking to him. Something is robbing him of everything that he gets. And it says this, all man's labor is for the physical realm, yet the appetite is never satisfied. So what you have to understand is you cannot satisfy internal things with external things. You can use it. The Bible said he gives us all things richly to enjoy. But it's not made to satisfy you. And I got to jump back on relationships for a second. Stop looking for a man or a woman to complete you. Satisfaction can only come from inside of you in the God that's inside of you. And people are going crazy and are confused and depressed, reaching for something outside of them when the answer is inside of them, because the Bible says God breathed in you the breath of life and gave every man the measure of faith. Your answer is not out here. Your answer is in here. Sometimes the best thing you can do is take off of work, not to go on vacation, but to sit by yourself, talk to yourself, have a conversation with yourself, and get yourself in check. and pull from within. Now, last week, or the last time I preached, we talked about when the man of God said to the woman, "What is in your house?" And we talked about that you have something inside of you. And what Solomon's trying to let you know, and he was at the apex of civilization, what he's trying to let you know is if you don't reach what's inside you, you can have all this stuff around you, and at the end of your life, you will be frustrated and disappointed and miserable because your true hope is not out there. It's right in here. Learn how to quiet yourself and talk to yourself. And there are solutions down on the inside. When I say inside, I'm talking about those of you who have called on God as your Savior. And God is on the inside of you. I'm not talking about you got everybody. You got Buddha and you got Hare Krishna. I'm not mad at you, but you're not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about you who have a Savior, who have Jesus Christ the righteous down on the inside. Sometimes you need to slow down and just enjoy yourself. Amen. Now, the other day, I accidentally overslept for work. Now, I've got days where I can just call in, and I don't have a whole lot of them days left. So I was planning on saving this day, so I accidentally overslept. I was like, man, I can try to rush, and just something told me, stay home. I stayed home, and it was just the best staying home I had ever felt in my life. I didn't do anything. I didn't go anywhere. But just having that internal rest, internal peace. And somehow didn't nobody call me. Didn't nobody bother me. I didn't do a whole bunch of spiritual stuff. I did read some scriptures. But I popped on Netflix. I ate donuts. I sat in my easy chair. And I enjoyed myself. Sometimes you need just a day for yourself. Not a day to achieve something. Not a day to get something. I got to get on the treadmill and I got to do overtime. Sometimes just take a day for you and kick back and enjoy the God that is down on the inside of you. Peace like a river down on the inside of me. Joy overflowing. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And since the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Were my bills the same? Yes, they were the same. Were my problems still there? Yes, they were there. But I found peace inside of me. Peace like a river.
All right, next verse.
Better what the eyes see than wandering desire. This too is futile and a pursuit of the wind.
Now, Solomon does clean this all up when you get to the end of Ecclesiastes. And he tells you the conclusion. I won't tell you. I'll let you read that for yourself. But he does clean this all up. But here he says something that seems to be so contradictory to what we know as faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. But Solomon says it's better what the eyes see than chasing after desire, which is interesting. He's saying sometimes it's better just to take what you got than trying to jump into something else. Let me put it this way. Sometimes it's better to love the one you with than to have wandering eyes for the girl at the gym that is working. Whoo, she looked good. Love the one you with. It's going to cost you too much to jump out of this relationship to get into that relationship. Sometimes it's better, instead of wandering, instead of desire, enjoy what you have and say, God, I'm not going to focus on anything until you focus. You give me the dream. I'm not looking for nothing, but I'm going to enjoy what I have. The Bible says, love the woman of your youth. I'm going to love who I got. Yeah, she don't look like the woman at the gym, but the truth of the matter, you don't look like the man at the gym either. So love the one you're with. Better to enjoy it. I know your muffler is loud, but it's better to drive from point A to point B than to be in a new car smell getting debt that you cannot afford. Sometimes it's better to take what the eyes can see and just enjoy that. Sometimes it's better to eat peanut butter and jelly instead of running to Red Lobster when you don't have Red Lobster money. And I know peanut butter and jelly don't taste as good as Red Lobster, but your pocketbook will thank you for it later. It's better sometimes to take what you can see. Now, is this contradictory to faith? No, this is the truth of the matter is let God light your fire for something else. Now I'll tell you about my Cadillac. I had that on my mind for a while. But I did not, have the money to get it like I want to get it. When I purchase cars, I don't like to spend anything over $500 a month. I want to be less than that. My last several cars were $425 a month. I like to drive luxury, but I don't want to pay a lot. So what that means, I can't buy brand new car. So the car has to come down to my price range. So either God's got to have somebody give me a whole car, but I know $425, $480, anything less than $5, I feel good. If you get over that, I don't like it. So I got to stay in my lane. And so I had decided that I wanted to do something for my family. And so one of the things I did was purchase a house. The second thing I did, I decided I'm going to take us on a vacation, like a real vacation. Last year we took a cruise and we liked it. But the cruise was nice, but it was kind of ghetto. It wasn't top notch. And my kids, they're a little spoiled. They used to top notch. And I said, I want to do top notch for them. And I looked at my finances and I said, I can do a top notch vacation for them. And I want to reward them. They are amazing at the grades that they get. They're really good. The only thing I have trouble with them, they're a little messy. They mess up. But other than that, I don't have any trouble with them. So I was like, I want to do something good. But in my mind, I said this to myself, there goes my car. I said it to myself, there goes my car. If I do this vacation, there goes my car. So I'm just going to have to wait. I'm going to have to drive this raggedy car a little longer because my red car, it was looking good, but internally it was raggedy. It was ran out. It was close to 200,000 miles. I had drove the hair off of it. And it looked good, but it was raggedy. But I want to do this for my family. So in my mind, I had no idea that the car that I wanted was going to fall into my range. And so what happened, I was reading. I always keep up when I was reading. And they said, this particular model, they're going to discontinue in 2019. Then a light bulb went off in my head. Wait a second. If they're going to discontinue that model, the used models are for a while, they're going to start dropping before they become, like, important. They're going to start, there's going to be a period of time where they're going to start falling. So I started researching. I didn't have the money, but I started looking and said, wait a second, they're falling. And they're falling into my range. And so then I made some inquiries, and I found out that I think I was paying $450 for the red car, and they told me I can get this new car for $480. You mean I can get a car that's almost $30,000 more for only $30 more a month? God, you being good to me. Bring it on, bring it on. I grabbed at it because it wasn't me chasing it. God was bringing it to me. You got to learn how to stand and thank God for what you have, but let him bring something into. And when he bring it, don't be stupid. Grab it when he bring it. Made no sense for me not to take it. It's only going to cost me $30 extra a month. And it does all kinds of stuff. I can kick my foot under it and the trunk pop open. My old car didn't do all that. Thank God for bringing something into my price range. God's got two ways of blessing you. He can raise you to the price range or he can drop it to you. Either way, he can bless you. Just stand still and trust God. But one thing you don't do, you don't go chasing, you don't go running, you don't go crying and complaining to God, oh God, I can't do nothing. No, take your raggedy car and thank God. In my raggedy car, I had church in my raggedy car and enjoyed God. I don't care what I'm driving. I learned this from my daddy. My daddy would drive anything raggedy and still be happy and still be praising the Lord. I don't have to ride in luxury to give God praise. I can give God praise no matter what. All right. All right, more than enough. Somebody say more than enough.
More than enough.
All right, I'm going to turn another corner as we get ready to get out of here. Now, when I say get out of here, I mean another 2 hours. When we get ready to get out of here. But more than enough, I put a question mark. So is more than enough even a good thing? Looking at what Solomon said and understanding what Solomon was talking about, is more than enough even a good thing? Is it even something we should be shooting for? Because like I told you, my car came to me. I didn't look for it. But should you look for more than enough? I still think you should look for more than enough, but we have to be careful. So I was wondering, how can I tie this sermon together? And God gave me a beautiful revelation. Let's put this next thing up. Today is June the 9th, 2019. This is actually Pentecost Sunday. Some of the churches have made a big deal of it. They may wear white on Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days after the Passover, which For us, because Jesus died and rose again in the Passover season, it's 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And we know what happened. So I want to look at Acts. And because this day is Pentecost Sunday, I want to see if there's anything that I can tie in what I was talking about to see about more than enough. So let's look at Acts 2 and 1.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
The day of Pentecost was what?
Fully come.
It was what?
Fully come.
Remember when I was telling you about not chasing things, but standing still and allowing things to come to you when the time is fully right. Sometimes I say it this way, when God get good and ready. In other words, the Bible talks about a due time and a due season and a set time and a season. Sometimes you got to wait till it fully comes. Don't quit on God till it fully comes. If you don't see it yet, wait on God till it fully comes. But there's coming a day when it will fully come. All right, read the next verse.
And suddenly.
And what?
Suddenly.
And what?
Suddenly.
Here's the thing. When you get to your fully come, or your due time, or your set season, or your day of favor, or your year, or your moment, or your time, then it's not so much about waiting, it's and suddenly. And immediately. When you wasn't even looking for it, God turns a thing around, and suddenly what happened?
There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
This is where I found the revelation. See, Solomon was telling us that when you chase it and God's not in it, you begin to chase the wind. But when the time was fully come, the Bible says that the Spirit came, but it came sounding like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, see, the reason why it had filled the house is because first it had filled them. And when it filled them, it affected the atmosphere in the house. And it affected the area. It affected everything. And it sounded like wind. In other words, what I'm saying, instead of chasing the wind, chase God. God will bring the wind inside of you. And what will happen, you will be filled and satisfied and overflow. And what happens when you overflow, it affects the wind out there. How can I explain it and not be so deep? Let me say it to you this way. In my front yard, I don't have a tree in my front yard. I have a bunch of trees in my backyard. But when it comes to leaf season, I still have leaves to rake because the wind brings all the leaves right to my front yard. Now, even though I don't have a tree, the wind finds a way of getting leaves from other trees and bringing them right to my front yard. And I'm like, I want y'all to keep leaves on your side of the street. I don't want them on my side of the street. But there's a revelation in the wind. I don't have to chase the wind. I don't have to stand and say, wind, bring leaves to my yard. I don't have to do any of that. I don't even have a tree. The wind finds a way to work and bring it to me. So instead of me chasing the wind, if I get filled with the wind of God will bring jobs and bring relationships and bring money and bring health and bring healing and bring joy and bring peace. All I got to do is set myself, stand still and see the salvation of God and allow God to fill me first. Fill me up till I overflow. You're chasing, and God said, I want you standing, but I want you to be filled while you're standing. Let me pour in you. And when I pour in you and it overflows, it's going to affect everything around you. If I take, I've got some tea up here that I forgot to drink, but I got some tea up here. And if I fill it to the top and run around this room, invariably what's in the cup gonna get out. The only way I can make it is I gotta walk real careful because it's filled. But when you get filled, your husband gonna know. Your grandma gonna know. Your mailman gonna know.
know you. The boss gonna know when you get filled, because you can't help when you get filled, but some of it's spilling out. And when enough of it spills out, it changes the atmosphere around you like a rushing mighty wind. I don't have to chase the wind. I chase God, and God fills me. And when I overflow, it changes things around me. So some of the only reason why you haven't moved into more than enough, you don't have more than enough in here. Those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled.
Let's read. Next verse.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them.
Then it changed so much that something happened. It appeared over their head the day of Pentecost. What happened is, in the old days before Christ, the Holy Spirit could come on from time to time, but he couldn't come in because man's vessel was not clean. And even though God had put breath in man's body, because of sin, there was a gap between man and God. But Jesus closed the gap. And now there is God in, but God wants to come in and overflow. Let me use the example of the tea again. If I take my fist and put it down in the tea, what's going to happen? Something's going to overflow. So man had God in him, but because of sin, he didn't know. But when they were all in one place, on one accord, God got down in them and it spilled out of them, and they seen stuff happening in the atmosphere. This is where we get the phenomenon of speaking in tongues. It happened on this day. Next verse, verse 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
They were all filled. Now, this is what I'm working on in this house, is that we come into a place that all of us get filled. The point is, we got to be on one accord. We all have to be chasing God. We all have to be focused on God. But when we come in here, we all get filled with enough to go out into that world and change the world around us. When we all get filled with his presence, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. But why do I have to wait to rejoice till I get to heaven? I want to see some heaven on earth right now. When we all get filled with the fire of God, when we all get serious about God, when we all go for broke for God, when we all get passionate about God, when we stop hiding our light under a bushel, but I'm going to let my light shine. When you get this Holy Ghost fire, you'll be like Jeremiah, like fire shut up in my bones. And I don't want to be the only one on fire. I don't just want the staff on fire and just the praise team on fire, from the pulpit to the parking lot. That's why whenever I pray from the pulpit to the parking lot, that we all get filled. But in order to do that, we got to stop chasing the wind. Start chasing God. All right, one more verse, and let me put this up. More than enough, God's way. Somebody say, more than enough, God's way. One more time. More than enough, God's way. So the answer, there's nothing wrong with more than enough. We just have to do it God's way. And God's way is different from what Solomon said. Solomon said man's way is to chase after the wind. God's way is chase after God. He'll fill you with the wind. And when you overflow, the wind will change things around you. Now, it won't happen overnight, because when you get filled, you got a bunch of junk in you. See, I got tea in here now, and if I want to change what's in here, I got to pour this out. So God, when he gets to filling you, he also gets to emptying you. And emptying don't always feel so good, but it's okay, because once he empties you of all that junk and puts something inside of you, it's like an oil change. What they do, they take the old oil of all those miles, and they drain the old oil and the old filter, and they swap it with a new filter and put new oil. I need fresh oil. Fresh anointing, fresh revelation. But that means my old oil, my old anointing, and my old revelation, I got to be willing to let it go so God can fill me up with something new. I say this all the time, and I'll say it again. One of the greatest hindrances to a new move of God is an old move of God. That's not the way we did it back then. That's not, we're not back then. We are here now. You can't put new wine in the old wineskins. I got to take a little time to explain that. They use animal skins back in the day for bottles. Before bottles, there were animal skins. And over time, animal skins became brittle and hard. And wine expands, especially new wine. So if you put new wine into a brittle old animal skin, when the new wine expands, it busts the skin open and it all spills out. And the scripture tells you that you can't put the new wine in because it'll end up on the ground. You got to have something that will change. You got to have something that is shapeable and moldable for the new fresh revelation. And all the hell you've been going through is just shaping you for what God's planning on doing in your life. It's more than enough God's way. Amen.
Final verse, and we'll close from here. This lets us know unequivocally that God wants us to move into more than enough, but show us how I do it. Ephesians 3:20, would you read?
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works
out there.
In us.
According to the power in General Motors.
In us.
According to the power in the White House.
In us.
According to the power that works in us. If I get some power in me, if I get filled in me, if I get some oil in me, now unto him, now unto, and this is something you can do for yourself, and you can put yourself there. I'll do it so I can show you what I'm talking about. Now unto Andre, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in Andre. How can Andre do it? Because Andre's not doing it. It's the God in Andre could do more than enough, exceeding abundantly above. Amen. Now, Paul could have just said all, but he didn't say all. He said exceeding. Not just exceeding. What are we exceeding? We are exceeding abundance. But what are we exceeding abundance? Above all that we ask or think. I'll close for real from this way. There's a young man I seen on the internet where he was called out of his name, called a racial slur, and he was I think he was a hotel person. And so the lady who had called him that on the phone came to him and needed a room. And the man told him, "That's above me. I'm not going to give you a room because I heard what you called me on the phone." And she begged and begged, and he said, "That's above me. Go to the Best Western down the street." Now, he was being a little facetious, but he's basically saying, "You're not going to disrespect me and then now need me to do something for you. It's not on me. It's above me." And I'm here to let you know you can tell the devil when he comes to your face and tell you you're not about nothing. You don't say, "I know I'm not about nothing, but that's above me. I ain't got nothing to do with it. God want to bless me. God want to do it." Well, you don't deserve it. No, I really don't deserve it, but God want to do it. It's above me. It's exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power where? In us. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. More than enough, God's way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. In the precious name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for all that you are and all that you mean. Your hand on